Chapter 26, An Unexpected Reunion. Birds fluttered up into the night sky, squawking loudly as Ben waded through the warm water of the river. Huge turtles were hauling themselves out of the sea and lumbering over the sandbanks to lay their eggs, but Ben scarcely noticed them. With a sigh, he looked at the dracologist's card, the one that Barnabas Greenbloom had given him. He didn't think it was going to be much use. There were two addresses on it, one in London and one in Karachi, and her name, Zubaydah Khalib. Ben looked out to sea and saw a pale streak of light just above the horizon. The day's hot fingers were beginning to push the night away. Perhaps I'll just show this card to a few children, murmured Ben. One of them will be able to tell me where she lives. Twigleg tugged the lobe of Ben's ear. He had crawled out of the backpack and was making himself comfortable on Ben's shoulder.
They won't be able to read the card, he said.
Why not? Ben frowned. I can read it all right. Zubaydah Khalib. Zubaydah Khalib.
Well done, Twigleg chuckled. And you'd better read the name aloud. There won't be many people around here who can read those characters, if the children in this village can read it all, that is. That's English lettering on the card, young master. People here write quite differently. The dracologist gave the professor a card in his language, not hers. See?
Oh. Ben looked at the homunculus in surprise and almost fell over a passing turtle. What a lot you know, Twigleg.
Oh, well, Twigleg shrugged his shoulders. I spent many, many nights in my master's library. I've read books about magic and the history of humankind. I've studied biology, so far as you can from human books. I've studied astronomy, astrology, geography, calligraphy, and any number of foreign languages.
You have? Ben was climbing the low hill that hid the village from sight. He soon could see the first huts and the fishing nets hung up to dry outside them. The sea was breaking on a wide beach where boats were drawn up side by side. Men wearing turbans were standing among them. Do you know the language they speak here? He asked the mannequin.
Urdu? Twigleg made a face. Yes, of course, young master. I learned it when I was studying the great religions of the world. Urdu isn't my favorite language, but I can get by in it.
Ugh, marvelous. That was a load off Ben's mind. If Twigleg understood the local language, it wouldn't be too difficult to find the dracologist.
But I think it would be better if no one saw you for a moment, he told Homunculus.
Can you hide among my things somewhere and whisper what they're saying to me? Twigleg nodded and clambered into the backpack.
How's this? He said softly. Can you hear me, young sir?
Ben nodded. He climbed down the hill and came to some fields of goats. Chickens were scratching around in the ground. In the morning sunlight, children were playing outside low-roofed huts. They were chasing around the women who were seated outside the huts, laughing together as they cleaned and gutted fish. Hesitantly, Ben approached. First to notice him were the children, who ran forward and crowded around him full of curiosity. They spoke to him, grabbed his hands, and pulled him along. Most of them were smaller than Ben. Their faces were almost as dark as their eyes, and their hair was as black as coal.
How do I say hello? Ben whispered over his shoulder.
The children looked at him in surprise.
Salam alaikum, whispered Twigleg. Kwe hasis.
Salam alaikum. Kwe hasis,
repeated Ben, trying to get his tongue around the words. The children laughed, clapped him on the back, and talked faster than ever. Ben raised his hands in protest. Whoa, stop, stop, he cried. No, I don't understand. Just a moment, he turned his head. How do I say I come from far away? He hissed over his shoulder. The puzzled children stared at his backpack. Then, to Ben's horror, Twigleg suddenly crawled out of it. Hauling himself up by Ben's hair and ears, he climbed on top of the boy's head and bowed low to the children.
A very good morning to you all,
he called in less than perfect Urdu.
We come with friendly intentions. There's someone here we want to visit.
Twigleg, whispered Ben. Come down at once. Are you crazy?
Most of the children retreated in fright, but two, a boy and a girl, stayed where they were, staring in amazement at the tiny man standing on top of the foreign boy's head and speaking their own language. By this time, some of the grown-ups, too, had realized that something unusual was going on. They left their work, came closer, and then, like the children, they stood staring in astonishment at the sight of the mannequin.
Oh, don't.
Twigleg, Ben groaned. This isn't a good idea. I expect they'll mistake me for a wizard or something.
But the villagers suddenly began to laugh. They nudged one another, lifted up their small children, and pointed to the homunculus as he stood on Ben's head, his chest swelling with pride, bowing again and again.
Thank you. Thank you, good people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you,
he cried in Urdu.
My master and I are delighted by your kind welcome. Would you now be so kind as to show us where the famous dracologist Zubaydah Khalib lives?
The people frowned, looking puzzled. Twigleg spoke a very old-fashioned Urdu, as old as the books from which he had learned it. Finally, the boy, who was still standing close to Ben, asked,
You want to see Zubaydah Khalib?
Ben was so pleased to hear the dracologist's name that he forgot Twigleg was on his head and nodded vigorously. The homunculus toppled off and landed on the hand of the foreign boy, who gazed at him with great respect before carefully placing him on Ben's own outstretched palm.
Well, young master, whispered Twigleg, straightening his clothes, I might have broken my neck.
Sorry,
said Ben, putting him on his shoulder. The little boy who had caught Twigleg took Ben's hand and pulled him along the beach. The villagers all followed them past the huts and the fishing boats until they reached a hut standing a little way from the others. A stone statue of a dragon with a wreath of blue flowers around its neck stood beside the door. There was a full moon painted on the wall above the doorframe, and flying from the roof were three long-tailed kites shaped like dragons.
Zubaydah Khalib,
said the boy, pointing to the doorway, which had only a brightly colored curtain over it. Then he added something else.
She works by night and sleeps by day,
translated Twigleg.
Because she's studying the secrets of the dark time of the moon, but she has guests staying with her just now, so she ought to be awake. We have only to ring that little bell.
Ben nodded. Say, we thank them very much, he whispered to Twigleg. The mannequin interpreted. The villager smiled and retreated a few steps, but they didn't go away. Ben went to the door of the hut with Twigleg and tugged the bell pull. The tinkling of the tiny bell scared two birds off the roof of the hut, and they flew away, croaking.
Oh, no, cried Ben in alarm. Twigleg, those were ravens.
Someone pulled back the curtain over the doorway. And Ben got a surprise that took his breath away.
Professor? He stammered. What are you doing here?
Ben, my boy, cried Barnabas Greenbloom, smiling broadly as he led him into the hut. Am I glad to see you? And look at this! Why, if it isn't Twigleg! So he turned up again, did he? Well, fancy that. But where are the others?
Hiding by the river? Replied Ben, still astonished, and looked around. Seated on cushions at a low table in one corner of the small room were a stocky little woman and a girl about Ben's age.